Hallelujah. Appreciate everybody that is here tonight and everyone, all of our family, extended family that is listening presently and will hear this message after tonight as we will post it. It'll be something for all of us to use and anyone wherever you're at to believe God and to use not only what we're saying as a template, but also a quick understanding. I'm going to speak for a few moments tonight and share with you very briefly, because you can actually do series on this particular, we would call it in our church, and for those of you that may be listening or watching, you'll understand this terminology. We call it a limb, an inroad, one of the God-given scriptural paths in which the Lord uses to bring about His kingdom in the earth. And so one of our favorite scriptures to go to is in Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to ask you to turn there with me because we want to base everything on scripture. One of the prophecies that was given to us as a group, as a family, it didn't come out of this church, but it came to our family, that in these last days there will be babies, spiritual babies, born with teeth. And the understanding of that is that because of the line upon line, precept upon precept building of sound doctrine, is that will be so readily imputed and given because of an understanding of where we're at and readily available, that those that are going to be born into the kingdom are going to, their maturing is going to be expedited. Now, they still have to go through the same process of being filled and getting into the Word and going forth Himself. But I just said that to say this. If you're on this walk, of you believe that there's something in the earth to be done other than just living your life, you want to join forces with believing that the kingdom of God is going to be restored in power and that you're going to be a part of it, I'm going to be a part of it, I would say one of the things that I would encourage is that if you have not gone through some of the older series of Pastor Dave Roberson, I would go to their website. Everything is free of charge, especially the series, and I wish I would have written some of them down, that begin to build a line-on-line teaching of speaking to your mountains and confession and what was the one about ministering to your soul? There was one, somebody help me if you think of it. What's that? Ministering your own soul. Okay, that's it. And so we're not grabbing here like these aren't things that we have come up with in this church. We're standing on the shoulders of men and women who have understood things and given their revelation to the church. Now, this inroad tonight that we're going to use, I'm going to teach on it for just a moment, and then one of our elders is going to come and actually do the application of that. But this is one of our inroads for the building stones for revival. And going back to encouraging all of you, I don't say this to elevate myself. I just say this is what I have become as a result of other men's work. I'm 20 years into this, a little over 20 years into it. And when I began, because I realized the truth was in here, Pastor Dave Roberson was my pastor, is my pastor, and visited. He came here several times, and he'll be here again at some point. But I devoured every single thing that he ever did. And there was a time when their people were sending us stuff, and it was coming snail mail, and it was coming through cassettes. People don't even know what cassettes are anymore. But every series and everything that he ever did, and I say that to say how important it is to get a foundation. And so you're not, you may feel like, I can't go back. Listen, it's so vitally important. And there's different series that he has done, like the Born Again Trail, that would incorporate even a lot of what we're confessing or what we're speaking tonight. So you can visit Dave Roberson's website, but also that is a good advertisement to say, listen to what we do here. You may be able to surf our website and pick up some old teachings, some older teachings that will be relevant to some of the things that we're saying here tonight. And I would say get that foundation inside of you. Mark chapter 11. This says, Mark says here in verse 1, and when they came nigh, this is coming towards the end of Jesus' ministry and life, nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethsage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olive, he sent forth two of his disciples, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village against you, and as soon as you enter into it, you'll find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat, loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met. And they loosed him. And a certain man that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. Then they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strewn them in the way. And they went followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when he was come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he may find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he spoke directly to an inanimate object, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So Jesus speaks. Now, this is really, for us, we understand this. But speaking to things and speaking to inanimate in the objects that are physical things, that seems strange to the world. But to the spiritual, they're not. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not allow or suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how that they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, very important, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. back to my roots for just a moment. One of the things that my faith roots heard as a child, I heard this scripture taught by a man that is presently in heaven, Kenneth Hagin. And if you've ever heard his story, and I won't go into the fullness of his story, but he was healed not by the laying on of hands. He wasn't healed by anybody praying for him. He was healed because he was laying in bed as an invalid, and he was a young teenage boy, and he started reading the Bible. And he got to this part, and to begin with, laying there, he wasn't even born again. He actually died and went to hell, and God brought him back. And that's another part of the story. But once he got saved, and I don't even think he was filled with the Holy Spirit at this point in time, he started reading systematically through the New Testament, and he got to Mark 11. And he came to this part where Jesus said, "Have faith in God, for I say unto you, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now he read the rest of it, digested it, but he caught that one part in simplicity. And he believed that the Bible was true. And he began to contemplate, and this took place over months, he began to contemplate, if this is true, and the Bible's true, and if God really does exist, and this is his word, that if I really, once I pray and I believe that I receive what I prayed for, and will not doubt, but continue to speak what I have prayed for, I can have whatsoever I say. So there's a long story on his life. That doctors came in and he had an incurable disease. He was going to die. But he basically took this scripture without anybody laying hands on him, without any preachers, and confessed over a period of about several months, almost a year, he confessed himself into total health. He had an enlarged heart. He was dying. Jesus came from Jesus, the Jesus of the Word came and healed Kenneth Hagin's body. And he did that because he would lay there and speak his word, maybe hour after hour. And at some point, here's the thing, and I understand this part. People will say, yes, you confess it with your mouth, but you have to believe it in your heart. But I can promise you this, because I know it by myself through experience, and I know by his testimony, that if you will not relent, it will eventually go from head to heart. And when it goes from head to heart, the answer is there. You can put it in the bank, the answer is there. Jesus said this, and I won't bore you with Greek words, but it helps us to have an understanding here. Actually, and I've done this before, the say and saith and say, the says here are different words, even though they're all in our King James or in our English. They all are spelled the same or pronounced the same. Excuse me. In verse 23, he says, Jesus said, "Verily I say," that word is the word lego, and it just simply means this: to lay forth, to relate in words, usually of systematic or set discourse. Now, it means just to begin to say something and to systematically say something. Now, we've been legoing for about 20 years, okay? But the beautiful part of, one of the beautiful aspects of Mark 11, 23 is that there is a teaching by Jesus here that is set forth of a redundance. In other words, yes, we have to believe that we receive it now, but there's a two-part harmony here. The harmony is this: you have to receive what you're believing for present tense as if you received it, but then there's also a corresponding redundance. Do you get that part? Am I saying it right? Where you can say it continually and reinforce to yourself. Pastor Dave used to say this: you're never changing God. Our confessions never change God. They're changing us. And they're polarizing what we believe to the best. Somebody said, well, you didn't believe it because you didn't receive. You believe to the best that you can, present tense. The makeup difference, the margin between what your heart really does believe and you don't believe, is won through the battleground of a respectful coming to God and confessing His Word. Because the Word changes you. It changes you, it changes me. So here's the two-part harmony. Yes, I believe, present tense, but maybe it didn't happen. So there's still a part of me that has to be worked on. Jesus said here, if you will say into this mountain, lego, set forth in discourse, and it means, as I said here, read, usually of systematic, meaning continuous, that whosoever shall, next one, say, now this word say is the word epo, and this word means to command. It means it's a primary verb, to speak, to say, to answer, to bid, to bring forth, to call, or to command. So he's saying, once you set something in discourse, or you continually can say, speak it as a command that you expect it to happen. I say, whosoever, verily I say, as again, I'm not going to try to bore you or to confuse you. You just need to remember, when you say it, you can believe it, but you can also continue to say it and make up the difference until it comes to pass. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that's the word lego, what you've spoken, shall come to pass, he shall have so whatsoever he epo, whatsoever he's commanded. Therefore I say, lego unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I also had the blessing and benefit as a young man of listening to men like Norville Hayes, who just, that was their whole tenure of this, that's what they stayed in, is confession. And obviously I believe there's other parts, there's other inroads, but he built basically his whole ministry on confessing and believing, and he basically believed he could change anything in his life based on taking appropriate scripture and confessing it. He's the guy that when the lady was come to him and asked him and said, can you tell me why God let my husband die of cancer? And he said, well, you know, basically, he said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. He said, did you ever hear your husband, because I suppose he was supposed to be a Christian, did you ever hear your husband speaking to the cancer in his body? I mean, did you ever, like, just catch him off guard? Like, you walk in, he's drinking a cup of coffee at the breakfast table, or he's out in the yard working. Did you ever just catch him speaking to it like it was a real personality and he was commanding it by the Word of God, dead? And she goes, no, I never heard him do anything like that. And basically his whole thing was, where you go to church and what you believe and what you've been taught can kill you or it can raise you up. And he said, ma'am, I mean, here's the deal. Your husband, you know, I guess he explained to her, her husband was in heaven, but the deal was, this is truth. And if it's taught to you and if you believe it and you follow it, it works for you. And you've got to, and you can say it one time, but if it doesn't happen in your life, it hasn't transformed you. So it's absolutely important to continue to say it until it happens. And whenever you do it enough, they used to say, when you're learning a second language, you don't really learn it until you start dreaming in it. And start, I mean, if you're, they say if you, the best way is to go to that country. Remember how Dave used to say it? Be parachuted out in that particular Spanish-speaking part of the world, and you just live in the indigenous area, and everything that you do. Well, confession is like that. You can change your world, but you can't just change it by saying it flippantly a couple of times. It actually has to eventually, the key is the heart. But you can change the heart if you agree with the word long enough and it actually begins to take root inside of you. And that's what he was saying to that woman. Did it ever take root inside of him enough that he's mowing the yard and you hear him out there? I say to you, cancer in my body, you're a lie. In fact, I'd change that. Cancer, you're not allowed in my body. I speak to you. Or however it comes. You know, Dave used to, one of the things that he used to go over, in fact, why don't you turn there with me real quick as we come to getting closer to Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews. Hebrews 11. I've got it right here. So Hebrews 11, and it is verse 6. Well, I'll just start at verse 1, because this is the whole, this is the faith chapter, the hall of faith for faith, most honorable mentions. We won't go through all that, but it says here, now faith is the substance, verse 1 of chapter 11, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of the things which do appear. And there's so much teaching to be done there, but we can't tonight. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts. And by it, being dead yet speaketh, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Dave would come here, or you'd see him other places, or you'd listen to him. And this was one of his favorite scriptures once he found out how faith worked and how that you could speak to the mountain. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Two prerequisites, two things. If you're going to get anything from God, you must believe that he is. Not just as in existence, but the sum total of everything that he says in his word that he is. All of everything that he says, and one of the things that he says is he's the healer. Corporately tonight, and those of you that are listening, in a moment we're going to speak in a more corporate umbrella kind of disposition over our city, over our region, and you're going to be able to take it and do the same to wherever you're at. Or maybe you're not in a church. Maybe this is your church. Maybe you're just an individual in your city and you don't know any other Christians, but you can change the atmosphere of wherever you're at. The Hebrew writer says here, or the writer to Hebrew says, that those who come before him, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, not just that he exists, but the is here is the sum total of everything that he is. Everything about his word from Genesis through Revelation. That God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, if Dave used to say it like this, he'd say, if you believe that he is, if you really believe that he is, then you'll have the guts. You could say it a little more nicer, the intestinal fortitude to hang in there to where you stay in prayer long enough to actually change things, because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, I say you're never changing God, and there are so many more scriptures. As I said, you could teach on this for a week, 2 weeks, 6 months, and never exhaust it. You're never changing God. But the reward is that something changes inside of you as you confess God's word. God's grace comes, and it fortifies everything inside of you, believing, and you know this, that if you believe that he is, if you believe his word, then if you understand that Mark 11:23 and further is, you speaking. What we just read in Mark 11 is this. It wasn't Jesus, there was a fig tree, he cursed it. Mark says he came happily, like unexpected. Obviously, Jesus knew what time of year it was. But he did it as an example, and there's a tremendous teaching about the changing of the guard as far as the priesthood and that whole cursing of the fig tree. We can't go into that. The essence of tonight's message is this. Whatever he spoke to, it had an effect on. And the next day, Peter says, Master, look, what you have spoken to has dried up from the roots. And Jesus uses that as an example to say, look, not only to the fig tree, but to this mountain, and he's speaking, and he's probably pointing, but he's using it as an example to say, no matter what mountain, now our biggest mountain, we all have individual mountains, but our biggest mountain that we've been asked to move into the sea is revival, is the kingdom of God over Immokalee, that an atmosphere comes. Now we have been Legoing and Epoing, we have been setting in discourse, and thank God that he gave us like a window to say, look, you can set something in discourse and you can continue to say it until the two worlds match, until they come together. But you can have whatsoever you say. And that in itself is what the Hebrew writer is saying here, that if you believe, you'll have whatsoever you say. I don't know how many of you out there have ever listened. Let me tell this real quick. Dave used to tell a story, and he had a background on it, which I can't remember so much right now, but he talked about how that there was an elderly couple. Somehow he knew about it, or he had heard about it and had more facts on it, but there was an elderly couple that had, I believe they adopted a young man out of a home, a facility. He could not speak, he could not walk, he could not, he had some kind of incurable disease, and he was basically a vegetable. The older woman took him in, the man, and they were born again believers, spirit filled. And they began to set a discourse. They began to speak over his life. They began to tell him that he was called to do something very powerful, very, very wonderful. And they began to exercise the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. They began to speak. They believed that God's will for this young man was to be healed. And they began to exercise and speak that over him, speak it to him and speak it over him. And they would do that. And they would continually do that. Every night when they would put him to bed, and he had to be treated, even though he was getting to be an older teenager or a young adult, they would put him to bed, and she would tell him that he was called to do something very wonderful and very special, and they would continue to speak. And Dave, if I wish I could remember, he may have talked about the hours that was invested. Again, I have to reiterate and underscore, your hours invested is never laboring to twist God's arm to change him. But your hours invested are truly changing you. If you believe that he is, then you will believe that he is a rewarder. Somehow he'll get it over to you of them that diligently seek him. The story ends very beautifully that they tucked him in bed one night and they both laid down to sleep. And within a few minutes after the lights were out, they heard something, and they had a big, nice grand piano in the front room, and I guess they were well enough to do that they could adopt or take care of somebody that was misfortunate. And the husband said to his wife, "Did you leave something on? What's playing out there?" So they both get up, go out there, and they find him sitting at the piano. That he had walked there himself, and he was playing something very beautifully. The supernatural part was the gift and everything come upon him at the moment of healing, and they were like standing there probably weeping in astonishment, and they said, what happened? And he said, Jesus came into my room after you laid me down, and Jesus came and he touched me, he healed me, he called me to the ministry, basically what you've been telling me for all these years, he gave me this ministry. Jesus came into my room and raised me up, and that's why I'm here. The result of years of confession. Now listen, I don't have the facts on that. I will encourage all of you that are listening, and with this, in just a moment, we'll do our confessions. Google the Betty Baxter story. I love that story. I've listened to her myself. The documentation is there, I'm sure, from doctors or what have you. She traveled the world. I don't know that she's still alive. She was alive not many years ago, Betty Baxter. She is one of the stories like I just told. Betty was born an invalid. She had more diseases than I can possibly remember right now. She never walked. I don't know that she could talk. She could talk a little bit because when her mother told her that Jesus was coming, she began to respond. She was crippled, her spine, everything. She was just a little tiny thing laying in a bed for many, many years in an upstairs bedroom. Her mother was born again, I believe, spirit-filled. Her mother believed this. It might not have been taught to her just like this, but somehow she got a hold of, if I say this and believe it and speak it over Betty, I believe Jesus will come. And she did that as far as I can remember. And Google it, it's easy to find, the Betty Baxter story. She did it for years, and she wouldn't stop. She just wouldn't stop. She believed that Jesus was a healer and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, are tenacious enough not to stop. We've been for 20 years not stopping. Immokalee is in revival. Betty's mother continued to speak and speak and speak until Jesus appeared to her. And I suppose for the sense of expectation, because we always know that it's his will to heal as soon as he can, but he gave her a date and he said, I'm coming. And another thing too was probably the testimony she told Betty, because she couldn't move. And if you'll ever listen to it, she has more illnesses than you can imagine, certifiably by medical profession. And she's laying there and she said, Jesus is going to be here next Wednesday or whatever the time was, and he's told me. And so she went and bought her a dress. She went and bought her shoes. She did everything for the preparation part of it. Her dad came upstairs and family members, and she told her dad, Daddy, Jesus is coming next week, and he's going to come. And what? Now, this is not verbatim. This is the essence. He's coming, and I'm going to be able to put on a dress, and I'm going to be able to come downstairs and be with all the rest of you. Well, her dad didn't believe it, and I can't remember. My memory doesn't say that he scorned it. He just wouldn't accept it, and he just didn't want her to live in a fairy tale world. When the day came, her mother, just Betty and her mother was in the room, and her mother shut the door, and there's just the two of them in there. And as she's in there, a light begins to appear in the room, and at some point, it expands and expands to the full figure of a person. Jesus steps out of the light, and her mother is continually saying, at that point she's weeping, she's asking the Lord, go ahead and heal her. And as he's proceeding, he turns and he says, I have come. Now we know that in the atonement, it's always done, okay? But unless somebody accesses the atonement, millions of Christians die in the atonement being absolutely it's in effect, it's there, but they never use it. He said, I've come here today because of your words, because you wouldn't stop. He touches her. She's miraculously, all of her bones are set back in place. She actually kind of expands, I guess, because she's able to stand up. She dresses her, puts her shoes on, and, you know, runs downstairs or comes downstairs. I don't know, runs or walks, but anyway, she's healed. Hallelujah. That's not in a healing line. No preacher laid hands on her. The raw word of God spoken. It changes things. Hallelujah. It changes things. So tonight we're going to do what we have done for many, many years. We're going to speak the word over our city, but we invite you to speak with us. And you can speak it over wherever you're at. Just obviously change the name for the city that you're at. I'm going to ask one of our elders that have been with us for many, many years, Miss Gay Plamondon, to come and lead us in this discourse of speaking the word, and we believe that we are changing our world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. You are not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore we say, your glory is present here at the Family Prayer Center. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. Demoniacs are set free. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. Thousands and thousands are born again. Every week, here at the Family Prayer Center, while we are able to get along with each other, as our Father works revival in our midst, we have the kind of worship that takes us beyond the veil of the flesh, in order that we may worship in spirit and in truth.
In spirit and in truth.
We worship you, Father.
We worship you, Father.
Out of our new nature.
Out of our new nature.
We give you family worship.
We give you family worship.
As your sons and daughters.
As your sons and daughters.
Father.
Father.
Here at the Family Prayer Center.
Here at the Family Prayer Center.
Those that come. See a people. Transform to the nature of Christ. Father, we say, in the name of Jesus, that no person ever leaves the Family Prayer Center the same way they came.
Every person that comes
receives a touch from you, the Good Shepherd. Father,
those that come
who are beaten down
discouraged
worn out and tired
we will not leave that way
we will be encouraged strong and mature
we will leave standing upright
our shoulders squared our heads held high,
Going forth as a mighty army
to take this planet for your kingdom
in the name of Jesus
Father,
your glory
fills every service
every person that comes
drinks of your glory.
We leave as earthen vessels,
filled with your glory,
filled with your wisdom,
filled with your love,
filled with your grace,
and anointed by your Spirit.
We carry your presence
with us.
We carry revival
around this world.
Father, we declare,
we preach your gospel.
We never settle
for man's gospel.
Only yours.
It's the gospel that saves.
The gospel that fills.
The gospel that heals.
And that's why we say,
lost,
be saved.
Empty,
be filled.
Blind,
see.
Sick,
be healed.
Lame,
walk.
Deaf,
hear.
Dumb,
speak.
Maimed,
be whole.
Dead,
live.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, that's your gospel.
We settle for nothing less.
We are going for the gold.
We have what we say.
And we say
at every service,
the lost are saved.
People are filled with the Holy Ghost.
The blind see.
The lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
The maimed are made whole.
And even the dead are raised.
In the name of Jesus.
More than 12 legions of angels
have been loosed to prepare
the way for revival.
Angels have been dispatched
to the four corners of the earth,
intercepting and stopping
every mission
and every assignment of the enemy
that would come against this revival.
We say
every person who is to be here
will be here
in the name of Jesus.
There's no devil big enough.
No assignment crafty enough.
No circumstances bad enough.
To keep even one
from being here.
Father,
we declare
your house full.
Father, we thank you
that this house is free
from all effects of witchcraft.
And Father, we thank you
for moving back
the forces of darkness
over this region,
opening up a window,
a window of light,
50 miles in every direction,
both horizontally
and vertically.
There is a fortress of angels
surrounding us,
keeping back the darkness.
Holy Spirit,
soften the hearts
where hurts have wounded,
where calluses have formed,
where walls of defenses have gone up.
Holy Spirit, even now,
soften the hearts,
create atmospheres
where the people can hear
the voice of their shepherd.
Prepare our hearts now,
so we are already receivers
when we arrive.
From the first word spoken,
from the first song sung,
from the first prayer prayed,
to the end of every service,
your people are free
to receive from your Spirit. The assignments of all devils.
The assignments of all devils.
Against the family prayer center.
Against the family prayer center.
The people of the family prayer center.
The people of the family prayer center.
And the leadership of the family prayer center.
And the leadership of the family prayer center.
All those assignments are dismissed.
All those assignments are dismissed.
Now in the name of Jesus.
Now in the name of Jesus.
We declare those plans.
We declare those plans.
Null and void.
Devil,
we have taken Immokalee from you.
We have taken Immokalee from you.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
And we are in authority here.
And we are in authority here.
Therefore, devil,
we command you.
Get out of Immokalee.
Get out of Immokalee.
Take your demons with you.
Take your demons with you.
Take your casino with you.
Take your casino with you.
Angels,
run them out.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The King of Kings has made a decree.
The King of Kings has made a decree.
We are speaking in his stead.
We are speaking in his stead.
The King has declared.
The King has declared.
This is the acceptable year of the Lord.
This is the acceptable year of the Lord.
Our King has decreed.
Our King has decreed.
Captives,
you are free.
Every person returns. To their original inheritance, the born again trail. Father,
you have restored our inheritance.
And here at the Family Prayer Center,
the inheritance is not just known about.
We don't just teach about it, but it is received,
manifested,
and seen.
Father,
you have restored our fellowship with you.
And Jesus has taught us to pray.
Father,
your will be done on earth.
Just as it is in heaven.
As in heaven,
so in the earth.
As in heaven,
so in Immokalee.
There are no lost people in heaven.
Therefore we say,
Immokalee is saved.
There are no sick people in heaven.
Therefore we say,
Immokalee is healed.
There are no demoniacs in heaven.
Therefore we say,
Immokalee is delivered.
There are no poor people in heaven.
Therefore we say,
Immokalee is prospered.
Immokalee is blessed.
We declare
every captive to be free.
Every wheelchair emptied.
Every artificial help.
They may need them when they come.
They won't need them when they leave.
We'll have them here as trophies
to the glory of Jesus, our healer.
All manner of sickness
and all manner of diseases
are healed.
First time,
every time,
all of them,
no exceptions.
Jesus,
you healed them all then.
You heal them all now.
That's what we say.
That's what we have.
In your name, Jesus.
Father,
there are impartations
of your Spirit
in this place.
We declare
these are the most powerful,
the most anointed,
the most life-changing,
the most revival producing
services in history.
Fresh anointings.
Fresh giftings.
Like never before.
Father,
it is you doing the works.
Therefore,
all things are possible.
Soul,
my soul,
I command you,
believe this,
all things are possible.
Soul,
my soul,
I command you,
believe this,
Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah.
Every backslider
will come back to God.
And they will never leave again.
Now, Father,
in preparation,
I forgive every person
their trespasses
against me.
Father, forgive me
all my trespasses.
I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
In order that my record in heaven
be perfect.
Therefore I say,
because of the blood,
what Jesus did for me,
according to my record in heaven,
I have never failed God.
I lay down my life
that the life of Christ
may be manifest in me.
I take no offense.
I give no offense.
And according to my record in heaven,
I never have.
Here at the Family Prayer Center,
the mind of Christ is delivered
to both the sheep and the shepherds.
It is delivered
with such simplicity
and with such clarity
that no one can misunderstand it.
Therefore we say,
the people at the Family Prayer Center,
and especially me,
we all understand every word
that the pastors teach here.
Every need is met.
No matter how large,
no matter how
small,
there are no cases too hard.
There are no cases too late.
Whatever they come for,
whatever they have need of,
whatever they seek from Jesus,
they get it.
All of them.
First time.
Every time.
No exceptions.
We declare
every captive free.
Free in spirit.
Free in soul.
Free in body.
All are delivered.
All are restored.
Hallelujah.
Father,
you are a provider.
Angels have been dispatched
to gather in
all of the finances
and everything necessary
for this revival.
Therefore we say,
there is no lack.
We operate from abundance.
We operate from surplus.
We have all,
and we abound
with many baskets left over.
We have such abundance.
We can pay the way
for many to come
and many to go.
We send them out
on prosperous journeys for God
with abundance
in a manner fitting,
servants of the Lord.
Our financial granaries are full.
Because our King
has found stewards
that he can trust.
And I am one of them.
Father,
if you need anything,
come to my house first.
Whatever you have need of,
come to my house first.
I've been bought with a price.
My life is not my own.
I am a first-class servant.
a son of the living God.
Lord,
I lay all my possessions
at your feet.
And I say again, Lord,
if you need anything I have,
it's yours.
I love you, Lord.
With all of my heart,
all of my soul,
all of my mind,
and all of my strength.
And the second commandment
is like unto the first.
I love my neighbor
as myself.
Jesus,
you are my Savior.
You are my Lord.
Whatever you ask,
that's what I do.
I am your servant.
I am your bond slave.
By my free will choice,
I serve you, Lord.
By serving these people
that you love so much
and that I love so much.
All that I have is yours, Lord.
My time is yours.
My body is yours.
My family is yours.
I own nothing.
I am your bond slave.
Use me as you will.
Father,
we declare
the roadways into
Immokalee
are highways of God.
Angels,
watch over and protect
all those traveling
on Highway 82,
Highway 29,
Highway
846,
and Immokalee
Road.
We call these highways
avenues to revival.
Father, we thank you
that our country operates
under godly leadership.
Father, we thank you
that no lives will be lost
on American soil
due to terrorist attack or war.
We say that the plans of the enemy
will be revealed
and ultimately averted.
Father,
continue to extend your mercy
over our country
for the sins that have been committed
and the innocent blood that has been shed.
Lord, we thank you
that by your Spirit
you have bound us together
as cords of three strands
that cannot easily be broken
according to your will
and good pleasure.
Therefore,
we lift up
the bloodstained
banner
over this city,
written in blood.
On this banner
are these words:
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
And where Jesus is Lord,
the Father's will is done.
Therefore, Father,
have your way.
Not just 30-fold,
not just 60-fold,
but 100-fold.
And again we say,
lost be saved,
empty be filled,
captives go free,
blind see,
deaf hear,
dumb speak,
lame walk,
maimed be whole,
dead live,
in the name of Jesus.
For thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the glory.
Forever and ever.
Your will be done in
Immokalee.
Just as it is in heaven.
As in heaven,
so in the earth.
As in heaven,
so in Immokalee.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Hallelujah to your glory, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. If you'll just be seated for just another moment for some instructions and announcements. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Miss Gay. Gay has been doing that for years now, faithfully, and many of you with us on Sunday nights. We were for years on a Friday night, and now for the last few years we've been on Sunday night. So praise the Lord. We appreciate all of you that have joined us tonight. And just to give some instruction, there'll be a PDF that will be produced, and you'll be able to attach it through either the website. It'll go along right beside this particular service, or we can put a link on Facebook that they can link over to it, and they'll have access to that PDF. It should come out in the next week. And then it'll be a way that you can just tailor it to wherever you're at and speak over your region, your city, your family, whatever, and take the parts out of it that that are most applicable to you and to your family. So praise the Lord, and I hope this has been tremendously beneficial to everyone. Just some quick announcements. Next Sunday night will be the end of this season, the 2017 season for Calling in the Lost, and we're going to take a break as we normally do through the years, and so we'll end next week with a fellowship. All of you are welcome. Be here next week, and the church is going to provide the pizza. We ask everyone to bring possibly a dessert, and so that will be the last service for the 2017 Calling in the Lost, and then we'll break until after, I think it's the second week in the new year, and then we will reconvene and come back together. When we come back together, which is going to be really neat, I've already received from Tulsa all the DVDs for the services of the conference. So we'll come in here and we'll have a, like we normally do, we'll have our own Calling in the Lost, and then we will show the entire conference, and it'll take us a good while, be several weeks. But if you want to attend the 2017 Tulsa Conference, come here on Sunday night. We'll be showing it right here on this screen, and boy, it's going to be really good. Those of you that were not able to be a part of that. So praise the Lord. So we got some good things coming up, and we appreciate all of you that were here with us tonight. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this wonderful Power Pack time and the family that joined us worldwide. We bless and we thank you, Lord, for all of our family that are here, that spoke your word, and that are speaking to their city and to our lives, all of us, and for those out there that will use these very confessions in the days ahead. We bless you. We give you all the praise and glory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you tonight. We love you. Amen.